Next on BYUSN, football season almost here. Players report to training camp tomorrow. The top three storylines we're following going into camp. BYU wide receiver Cody Epps will join us to preview training camp and discuss where he expects the offense to improve the most.
We're not stopping there. ESPN analyst and BYU national champion Trevor Maddich makes his return for Maddich Mondays as we discuss the quarterback battle and what he hopes to see from that offensive line during camp. And the first Cougar Olympian begins competition in Paris. We'll show you how she's doing and what's next.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, July 29th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who was on Jimmermania watch at the Olympics, Dave McCann.
For years, we've been confined to just Jimmermania in the United States. And now it is about to go global. Here's a pose from Jimmer from opening ceremonies. A couple of guys you might recognize in that shot. I think LeBron's in the back. Jimmer's having a good time over there, despite the rain on opening ceremonies. But now it's all business. Tomorrow afternoon on American national television, he makes his Olympic debut.
Hey, listen, there was no controversy around Jimmer, right?
Nah.
He's as clean cut and straightforward as it gets. He is American as it gets. He's ready to win gold.
He's like Captain America.
Yes, he is.
Captain Jimmer. and he's got a really good team. If they don't win the gold, they're going to be disappointed. You know,
the expectation
that's what
is
they're
there.
Going for. It's not just, hey, let's go and compete. And it's the first time 3-on-3 basketball has been in the Olympics. And some countries like Serbia have been playing that sport for years. Well, the U.S. went head to head with those guys over the last couple of years, come in with the number one ranking. Serbia is right behind them.
Yes.
They meet tomorrow to open pool play, and then it's on.
How fantastic was it to watch Jimmer Fredette, front of the boat, right next to LeBron James, essentially, who was bearing one of the flags. I just thought that was so cool to watch Jimmer with the guys.
He might not have ever gotten a shot in the NBA, but he's getting it on the world stage starting tomorrow.
Let's go. All right. With that said, go USA and all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Gary's got the resume, the portfolio. I really liked what I heard and saw from Jay.
Fix that offensive line. That fixes the run game. That opens up the pass game.
A good option for BYU have to be, I think, solidified once camp is concluded.
What's trending? Presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. I can't believe we're here. BYU football season and training camp. Literally right around the corner. It's happening this week. Players begin to report starting tomorrow. There are a number of key storylines that we are following and will continue to follow throughout BYU's training camp. It's always the same. But some years, Dave, there is more intrigue, specifically with certain positions like the quarterback. We'll get there in a moment. But we are going to lay out the top three storylines of BYU football training camp, beginning with, yes, that quarterback battle, notably Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff leading the way, McKay Hillstead in the mix, Trayson Bourget also there, Dave. The quarterback battle will dominate the headlines, and it should.
Yeah.
But when should it end is, I think, is more of an even bigger storyline within that headline right there is when will they name that starting quarterback?
Any starting quarterback that you talk to, and we talk to a bunch of them at BYU, they say the sooner the better. So it can't drag on. But there's two interesting guys coming into this camp with Gary and Jake. Jake's so eager to get to tomorrow and start throwing the football later in the week because he lost his last four games. And he's as competitive as there is, and he hates that. Had a nice spring camp. Now he's here to prove himself, and he wants to be the starter on August 31st. Gary didn't play last year. How eager is he to get here and start competing? The last time he was healthy, he won the Big 12 and the Sugar Bowl. So he's like a man among boys. And we'll talk to Trevor Maddich about that in just a bit. But those two storylines, those two guys want it the most.
Yes.
It's really those two battling for the job. And we don't anticipate it going. If it goes past two weeks, then maybe we got an issue. Remember, Zach and Jaron went to the last week, and then Zach got the job and took off from there during that competition. But those two both went to the NFL. So there's a few more question marks with this one.
There you see the quartet of quarterbacks for those watching on BYU TV. Again, Gary Bohannon, Jake Retzlaff, McKay Hillstead, and Trayson Bourget are the four that their head coach Kalani Sitake specifically referenced when he was discussing the quarterbacks at Big 12 Media Days. In fact, why don't you listen to what Kalani said as a reminder?
I mentioned four quarterbacks because we have depth there now, and I feel good about them. But not just depth, but all four of those guys have started and played in college football games, and not just one, a number of them, right? So this isn't going to be brand new for them. So if we ever get to the fourth quarterback, which I hope we don't, unless by choice,
yeah,
right, then we know we can count on those guys that they're actually ready for that moment.
Now, Kalani specifically referenced depth, and he didn't talk about what happened in 2022, but that's where this is coming from. Because once Jaren Hall got hurt, BYU did not feel comfortable going to anybody else.
Right.
They were willing to play Jaren Hall at 60% against Notre Dame in that Las Vegas game rather than go down the bench. So he said, we'll never put ourselves in that situation again. So that's why he leaned so heavily initially answering the quarterback question with, we have depth. We'll never be in a scenario where we don't have enough quarterbacks. So that's good, but who's going to start? And it is an interesting day because it's such a fluid situation. It feels like even in the last week, those that were long in the Jake Retzlaff camp that he would be the starter, including me, are now saying, huh, maybe Gary's shoulder really is better. Because when you talk to the players and the receivers and those around him, they're telling us and everyone, Gary commands a respect, and now his arm is showing what it used to when he was Baylor's quarterback. So it feels like just maybe things are leaning towards Gary Bohannon.
And they're telling us that off camera. So it's not, you know, being a politician and siding with one or the other. Just telling us how it is. Gary's had a great summer, and Jake's had a really good summer. That's what makes these next 2 weeks really intriguing.
Yes.
And Cody Epps is going to be here with us in just a little bit. We'll ask him, too, as a guy who's going to get the football from one of them, if not both of them. He used to say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. In college football now, you need two.
You have to have at least
two. If you have four quarterbacks, maybe you don't have one. So you've got to get the one, but you need two that can play. And there has to be a reason why they didn't go out and buy another one. There just has to be. They have to be confident and happy with what they have, and that will be revealed over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, you use the word fascinating, intriguing, yeah. And it's all of the above when it comes to how that quarterback scenario will play out. I hope they let us watch at least a little bit of practice,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. Come on, let's. We don't want to have to send a drone up. You know, we'll borrow one from the Canadian soccer
Whose
team.
Drone is
whoever's
that?
Got going
don't
on.
Don't worry about it. All right. Does it say McCann on it?
Number two storyline, the evolution of the offensive line. And we'll put up some of the cast of these are the characters that are going to get it done. And this man in the middle is Connor Pay.
Yes.
Connor Pay has been on this show a whole bunch. He's very outspoken. He's very perturbed with the productivity from last year. He's the leader. He feels really good about this group. What does that tell you going in?
I believe Connor Pay because, again, he is not somebody to mince words. If you haven't figured that out in the four previous years that he has played football at BYU, then I don't know what Connor Pay you've been watching, or maybe you haven't truly invested in any of his interviews. He does not sugarcoat anything. He is very straightforward with his commentary, and he took some criticism for how open and critical he was of the past few years of how the offensive line was coached, yeah, and the lack of leadership and the lack of accountability. He didn't name names specifically of his teammates, but he did talk about, well, we couldn't hold each other accountable. Like if we got mad at somebody else, we were told we couldn't do that. And that's very counterintuitive in the world of football. Like you have to be able to get after your teammates, especially Connor, who is the captain of that offensive line. So when he says, oh man, it's a world of difference in how we're coached, the attention to detail, the assignments that are being taught to us, and then all of the techniques, just the specific, tiny, nuanced techniques, like we're just being pounded and pounded into these guys' heads and rep after rep after rep. This will help. Frankly, BYU's offensive line was underperformed at such a level last year. We'll all notice how much better it will be this year because it was that bad. Yeah. It wasn't great, and Connor will tell you that. So I'm excited. I believe him, Dave. I believe that the offensive line will take a noticeable step forward in just their assignment sound and accountability factors and the things that matter most. Well, you need the disciplines up front. I believe that the offensive line will show us they have much more of that this season.
Yeah, and then a little subplot to our second storyline is those three guys running behind that offensive line in Hinkley Rapati, Miles Davis, and L.J. Martin. Again, all three have been dealing with health issues over the last couple of years. None of them have made it through a season clean. Of course, LJ last year, his first year coming out of high school, and Rapati missed all of last year with the ACL, and Davis has been banged up the last couple of years. So I get a feeling that BYU's confidence in that offensive line is also a reason why, and this doesn't sound great, but it's the world we're in, where they didn't go out and buy a running back. They're like, we're good with these guys with that offensive line. And that, too, becomes a very intriguing storyline.
For sure.
Is that true? And if it is, then so much of what was wrong in last year's offense has been fixed.
Yes. And the tight ends are part of that run-blocking scheme as well, a big part. And we've talked to several of the tight ends. Kevin Gilbride is the new tight ends coach, and he is an expert coming from the National Football League on how to teach those guys to be physical and utilize those guys as additional blockers up front. So
how about they reintroduce the tight end to the middle of the field with Keanu Hill?
Let's go. If you missed the show on Saturday night, 100 seasons of BYU football, Patty Edwards, there's a story of her telling Lavelle to throw to the tight ends more. And she put it in the newspapers to put the pressure on Lavelle. The newspaper reporters, he's not throwing to the tight end enough, and it's making me mad. And then all of a sudden, they were throwing to the tight ends.
Yeah, well.
Patty Edwards' word for it.
Lavelle doesn't have to come back to say that now, right? Because Patty has said it again. So if we're listening to it, let's get it over the middle.
Okay, now our second major storyline almost sets the table perfectly for the third topic that we're going to discuss today, which is players returning from injury. So you were talking about the running back specifically. L.J. Martin was banged up for a considerable amount of time. Miles Davis as well. Hinkley Rapati missed the entire season. So the running back kind of lead that conversation. Mm-hmm. The third major storyline we're watching for as players come back from injury is what kind of status they have. Will they be full participants in training camp as they gear up for August 31st in that game against Southern Illinois? Other notables in that list, Dave, include Gary Bohannon. We talked about a shoulder. Is he fully healthy? Is that really good to go? Then the three running backs. How about Ben Bywater? What's his status? Is he going to be able to play? Micah Harper coming up off a second season-ending injury. Is he fully healthy and ready to go? He told us in spring ball he feels great. He said he was about 85% then. Talon Alfrey, another safety. John Nelson missed 5 games at defensive tackle. And Marcus McKenzie was that special team superstar that BYU certainly missed once he went out about halfway through the season. There's a lot of big-name players coming back from injuries. Will they be available immediately? We'll be watching, that is for sure.
It's interesting as BYU learned in their first year in the Big 12. You can't have guys out there at half speed. They got to be fully healthy, full go 100% at this level of competition. And they so didn't have that across the board last season. They even lose their quarterback in the Texas game. And then they don't win again the rest of the way. But not only do guys like Ben Bywater, who missed spring, not only do guys like that have to be healed up, they've got to be 100%.
Yeah.
Because you can't take the field at 85. And if quite frankly, if you can't take the field at 80, you shouldn't take the field at all. You know, it's a brutal sport that requires complete physicality. And BYU can no longer, maybe as an independent, they could get by, but they can't play a quarterback at 60% any longer and expect
not at this level
healthy results. Yeah. Yeah, those days
level.
Are over.
Yes.
So a lot of these guys, they are significant question marks. Because you got to be 100% to get in the game. And they might not.
Just prepare yourselves, BYU fans. When that initial training camp roster comes out, there will be some names that are on there or omitted that draw attention. That happens every year. There will be some guys that you expect to be out there playing and practicing that are not. And it'll be a huge storyline. We don't know the specifics and the details just yet, but just prepare yourself that there will be some of that when training camp starts, which is why it's one of our top headlines.
Yeah.
Our question of the day is this. Other than the quarterback battle, what is the number one storyline you will all be following heading into BYU football training camp? Ben Peterson 4 on Instagram says, how improved will the offensive line be? That's a great question. Braden Keim, experienced. Waylon Lapu'ahu, experienced. Connor Pay, uber experienced. Caleb Etienne, can he rebound from a disappointing season a year ago? Isaiah Jadd is a guy who's burst onto the scene. Sonny Mancini. There are some guys, Dave. Yeah. A lot of experience there. What can TJ Woods do to coach those guys up? We're watching it for sure.
Andrew Peterson, we're hearing from the Petersons today at 7465 on Instagram. The overall health of the players. It seems there's always a big injury in fall camp.
Yes.
Think about the safety position in fall camp. We lost two starters.
That was crazy.
In camp.
That was crazy.
And we're playing walk-on coming out of camp. And you know what? The walk-ons held their own in the secondary. Those youngest guys last year held their own.
BYU started six different safeties last year.
But, man, what was this guy and then the guy right behind him, all of a sudden they're off the list? Yeah, they got to get through healthy, which is really an interesting blend of you need a tough physical camp to get ready.
Yes.
But in that tough physical moment, you got to stay healthy. And you know what? They don't often correspond.
Attrition, it stinks, but it is certainly part of the game. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Hey, if you missed any of our BYU football two-hour, a celebration of 100 seasons on Saturday night, which Spencer hosted an outstanding job, it was fantastic. You can find the whole thing waiting for you at BYUSN.com anytime on demand.
Up next, wide receiver Cody Epps and all of his swag. Back in Studio B to help us preview BYU football training camp. Let's go already! This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
It's Cody Epps. Epps on the loose. Caught by Cody Epps.
Is it Cody Epps time? He's the guy right now.
Yes, it is Cody Epps time right now in Studio B alongside Dave McCann. I'm Spencer Linton. Let's welcome in one of those standout BYU receivers and what we believe is the deepest position group on this Cougar football squad, the wide receivers. Cody Epps is with us. Cody, welcome back, man. Football right around the corner. How are you feeling?
Excited. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm so yeah, I can't even put it into words how just geared up and ready I am to go.
Describe it compared to how you felt just before your first Pop Warner season, your high school season, your BYU debut. Mm-hmm. Not coming back healthy after a season where you were disappointed physically.
Yeah.
You know, where I would think you're just ready to go nuts.
Yeah. I haven't had the chance to think about it like that, but I'm glad that you said that because that's exactly how I feel. Like, the day before your first Pop Warner game, like, having my pads. I used to sleep in my pads. I was sleeping in my helmet. Like, that's how I feel right now. That's, like, the best comparison, so
yeah,
I'm so excited.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Outstanding. We were just talking about our top three storylines going into BYU football training camp. Obviously, the quarterback battle is atop the list. Mm-hmm. We're excited to see the revamped offensive line as they're coached by TJ Woods.
Yep.
The running back battle. There are a bunch of guys coming back from notable injuries that are going to play a significant role this year, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that said, for you, what's the number one storyline you're taking with you into BYU football training? What are you watching for, Cody?
I'm watching for how well we gel together as a team going into the season because we have so much talks about us, our record, what our record's going to be, if we're going to have any stars to be able to play in this conference, how we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Do we have the capabilities of doing it at a high level? So I'm just excited to see how the team comes together and makes things happen so that we can, you know, prove ourselves right and just block out all the noise.
We won't ask you to tell us who you think should start at quarterback. You've been catching their passes all summer. We know they've been working with John Beck.
Yeah.
We understand from you and your teammates that they have both developed really, really well. Mm-hmm. Is this a completely wide open quarterback battle starting this week?
I would imagine so. Our coaches haven't named a starter. We don't have a starter yet. So I would imagine it's up for grabs for whoever, you know, our coaches and the team believes the guy is going to be that first day. But the thing I love about both the guys and every single guy in the room is that at the end of the day, they know that the competition only breeds greatness for everyone. You know, so none of the quarterbacks are down and out. that they're not in the polls or where they want to be at the moment. Everybody's just excited to make plays and do what they have to do so the team can be successful. And that's the overall arching goal, is what the team can do. And I think everybody's bought into that mindset rather than being selfish and all about, am I going to be the one playing? Am I going to be the one out there? So I'm excited for that.
Cody Epps is on BYU Sports Nation, standout receiver for the Cougars. He's back. He's healthy. He's excited, clearly. He may sleep in his football pads. Now, helmet might be a little uncomfortable,
Cody.
A little kink in the neck there.
Yeah, I know. Shoot. It's better to get used to it now, though, because that first day at camp, your neck the next morning is always wonky when you wake up.
That additional weight that you're carrying up there, for sure. Okay, a few more questions about the quarterback scenario. People don't know a lot about Gary Bohannon. And, I mean, understandably, because he's been injured, hasn't started a game in quite a while, a year and a half. But you've been throwing with him specifically. How have you seen him advance, and what makes you encouraged that Gary is getting back to full health? And if he is the guy, he could lead you to great things.
Yeah. I think he definitely has all the qualities that you want as a quarterback, strength, you know, speed, can throw the ball. He does all the things right when you talk about a quarterback. But I think the thing that sets Gary apart, just as a man, is as a leader. He's definitely a leader, and he's made a tremendous impact coming in here, in unfamiliar territory for him. And then, you know, just us looking at a guy that we've played against twice in two different scenarios, for him to come in and immediately implement himself into the locker room, into the teammates around him, that's definitely something that I'm looking at. And I'm so appreciative to be locker buddies with him and to have him in the room with us, and to be able to go out there and do PRPs and practice with, because just the way he approaches life, the way he approaches the game, kind of, you know, sets him apart just in total as just a player on the football team, no matter his position, no matter where he lines up, you know. So I think that's something that I really love about him, and I'm so happy and blessed to be around, and I can't wait to see it come to fruition on the
field. His shoulder 100%? Is he throwing at 100%?
Yes, he can zip the ball. His deep ball is pretty. He can throw it all across the middle. He can make those far outside throws. That's what we've been really just dialing in this whole offseason, those out routes when it comes to he's on the opposite hash and we need to get it all the way out there. Gary can do that.
One thing Jake told us, which I thought was interesting, because there's not a quarterback coach on the staff. And the offensive coordinator didn't play quarterback.
Yeah.
At quarterback U. And I thought, once we started thinking about that, we thought, why not? I wonder why that's the case. But then he said, but Gary is like a quarterback coach to him.
Yeah.
He can come off and say, hey, what did you see? And bounce those things off, which any young quarterback really needs.
Yep.
And so it was interesting to see how they complement each other, even right away, competing for the same job. And whether or not Jake can bounce back from his four-game performance last year. He had a strong spring, and he's eager as well to get out there and prove that. But I thought it was interesting how Gary, whether he's on the field or off, can really help the quarterback position by what he brings.
Yeah, I think that kind of shows you both aspects of them and their greatness. I think Jake is a guy who approaches the game the right way. He is always trying to learn. He's always trying to develop. He's always trying to hear how he can be better, how he can strengthen his game. And then Gary, like, he has a son at the end of the day. And anybody that has a kid has to have selflessness. There comes a point where, like, it's more about family and more about what the family is trying to accomplish rather than what you're trying to accomplish. So for Gary, like you said, to be able to show Jake some of the things that some of his shortcomings and be able to tell him not to do this or to do this or to look out for this, for him to be able to do that in the midst of competition, it just shows and proves that how great of a man he is, how great of a leader that I was just speaking about. So,
Cody, along with your improving health and feeling better, how else has this offseason been different compared to last offseason, now that you're going into year two of the Big 12?
I believe that majority, I don't know the numbers-wise of who transferred in last year and left, but I think majority of the guys that did transfer in that had an impact stayed another year. So to be able to have that extra time, extra, you know, spending time with those dudes going bowling or going golfing or just hanging around, I think that type of stuff makes a big difference, especially now in today's culture of transferring, and you got dudes that are in and out every single year. To be able to have some guys that are still here with us.
Feels like the majority of the core is back.
Yes. So, and everybody has matured, whether that's the weight room, whether that's in the playbook, whether that's as a person. everybody has taken that next step. So allowing that to gel and kind of work itself out together has been something pretty cool to watch. And I think it's been definitely different for me now that I've been around the block a couple times and to see everybody kind of come together and work together.
We saw what you could do against Arkansas and Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Last year, banged up, 21 catches, didn't get to the end zone. That was not the Cody Epps that's sitting next to us. Yeah. Played 8 games, so you missed 4 due to health. What did the disappointment of all that teach you about yourself that can make a springboard for a comeback season for you?
Yeah, I think I talked to my dad about this a lot. Like, I didn't have the season that I wanted, per se, and on a spectrum of what I want to accomplish in my life, I didn't, you know, that wasn't what I wanted to put out there and on the field. But playing a lot of golf this offseason has shown me a lot. And one of my posts after the Oklahoma game was just keep going. I think Dory's line of just keep swimming and having the ability to pursue and just keep pushing no matter the circumstances that you're dealt with. And I think, like I said, like playing golf this offseason has allowed me to understand, like, every shot that you set yourself up with, it should happen for a reason. It's all situation-based, and it's all for you to learn and scope out the land, scope out where you are, scope out your lie, scope out if you're in the rough, and if you're in the fairway, scope out what's the lie of the green. And I think that comes into life as well. Like, having what I had and those setbacks last season, still having to push through and set up for my next shot and not think about necessarily what happened but how I can make my circumstances better, I think that definitely has, you know, helped my perspective going into this season, because I don't want to have a season like that again ever in life, you know. But it happens.
And when you're hurt, it's got to be the worst, because physically you can't do it.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm happy it happened. I'm blessed that it happened. I think those type of things, when I'm 40 years old, when I'm 50 years old, I'm going to be able to look back on those adversities and be able to pinpoint and say, okay, I had to get through that. How can I use that for the circumstances that I'm in right now?
It's our first Finding Nemo reference.
I'm all about object lessons. I love Finding
Golf,
Nemo and
Nemo.
Finding Dory. Yes. We might as well just call it the parable of the lynx.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's really good.
All right, let's go. I appreciate that you brought that to us. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple of quick hitters to close out. Who's a wide receiver in the room right now that we're not talking about that you believe we will be talking about by the end of the season?
I think we talk about kind of everyone. So I'm going to give one that might shock some ears. I think Prent Zombo is a really good football player.
Okay.
He's really young. He's a little bit naive at times. He can be, you know, stuck in his own mind sometimes because he's just a young kid just, you know, coming up here. But I think Prince Zombo has a bunch of qualities that can make him a really good football player, a really good receiver. And then everybody else, I think we talk about a lot.
Let's go.
All right,
let's make a note of that one.
Okay, second quick hitter. What's the most effective play to use with you in the play on EA Sports College Football 25?
I'm going to disappoint a lot of people when I say this. I have not played with myself in the game yet. I have not played with myself. So I've played the game, like, I walked in my cousin Dylan Flowers' room, and I played 2 plays when he was playing with, I think, like, Toledo, or he was playing with some random team. And okay. I was like, no, I'm done. I can't do the sports games. But what I would imagine is all my teammates have been telling me my player is super quick and he's super fast in the game.
Jet sweep?
Yes. No, not jet sweep. They say that the out route, like the a quick route. 5-yard out, always works.
Unbeatable with Cody Epps.
Yeah.
So, on the quick out.
So I would probably go with that. Yeah. If I was A-Rod in NCAA.
That's what you'd be calling?
Go with the quick out.
Yeah.
Maximize the speed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cody, great stuff. We appreciate you coming in to hang out with us in Studio B.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you, man. We're giving you all the BYU Sports Nation good karma we can muster up.
Thank you.
Go have a great season,
Thank
brother.
You. Appreciate you guys.
See you at practice this week. How
yes,
about that?
Yes, I know. I'm so excited.
Let's go.
We're also going to see action over at South Field this week. Yes, the first fall sport kicks into high gear. BYU women's soccer. It's the blue-white scrimmage this Saturday at South Field, 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app and on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. And once the games start, they don't stop.
Oh, man, not until May. It's a brand-new team, too. Up next, BYU's first Olympian at the Paris Olympics began competition yesterday. Stephanie Rovetti, remember the name in rugby sevens. How'd she do? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
We're there for you. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer, he is Dave, and we're here for you live as well. Let's roll out our daily trivia question as we celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. Colton Potter is our producer. He is the man in charge of trying to bust the brains.
I like the theme music we've added too.
Colton, what do you got for us, brother?
All right, today's question. There have been 155 BYU players drafted in the NFL since 1938. Which NFL team has selected the most BYU players?
Oh, man. Which team has selected the most? Okay, so it's got to be one of the OG teams, or like at least a team that's been around since the 60s, probably. I would say the San Francisco 49ers.
49ers. The Bengals, I think, if I know of three that they've picked over the years, and now they've got Rico, at least going into camp. That would be four.
I can think of at least five draft picks from the 49ers, I think.
Oh, as a Cowboys fan, we always wanted some and never got them, except Golden Richards.
My guess is the San Francisco 49ers. And
I'll go a wild card into the Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals?
That's random. That's Gary Scheide's squad.
The correct answer is the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions. 13 players to the Detroit
49ers have drafted 12, a close second.
Oh, 49ers were 12.
No kidding. The Lions have 13 Cougs?
13?
I can think of two of them, Ziggy and Kyle Van Noy.
Man.
And Jamal. I guess those were, yeah.
But before that, I didn't think there were 10 more before those three. Wow. Okay. Great trivia question. All right. Colton, you win today. Let's get to today's headlines.
Stephanie Rivetti and Team USA's Rugby Sevens gone 2-1 through first three games of pool play, wins against Japan and Brazil. A loss earlier today to the host nation, France. Rivetti played a total of 11 minutes for Team USA. She's the first of a BYU record 9 Olympians to compete in Paris.
Fun to see her on the tube yesterday. Football season almost here. BYU players report to training camp tomorrow. You can follow BYUSN on social media. Tune in each morning to get the latest from training camp, updates, interviews, anything you want to know, you know where to find it.
Former BYU punter Ryan Rico signed by the Bengals over the weekend. Undrafted free agent, originally picked up by the Chiefs but was waived in June. Ryan, one of three punters on the Bengals roster. 23 Cougars now competing in fall camp around the NFL. Lee Johnson was a big Bengal punter. Could Rico be the next?
Let's go. CBS Sports' John Rossi reporting this morning that BYU will play Ole Miss in the first round of the 2024 Rady Children's Invitational on November 28th in San Diego, California. BYU will face either Purdue or NC State the following day. So it's Ole Miss on November 28th.
How can people temper the excitement for football and basketball?
They can't.
Sticking with hoops, Kevin Young announcing updates to his staff with Akash Sebastian and Samantha Young. Sebastian joins the Cougars as Director of Analytics and Strategy after spending the last two seasons with the Suns, working as a coaching analyst, working right alongside Coach Young. Samantha Young, no relation to Coach Young, been hired as the program's executive assistant after spending last season as a language specialist for the men's and women's basketball programs. That staff just continues to grow.
Indeed. How about the man we call Ginger Quake, Patrick Fishburne? Well, he's got that beautiful red hair, and he is enjoying a fantastic Monday after finishing tied for sixth at the 3M Open on the PGA Tour in Minnesota over the weekend. 13 under par combined. He earned $273,000 in change for that tied for sixth finish. His third top 10 finish of 2024. He's making some waves on tour.
Nice. Daniel Schneeman, shortstop, starter for the Guardians Saturday. They won 2 of 3 against the first place Phillies.
Cougars and the Miners, Michael Rucker called up to the Phillies for his rehab assignment over the weekend. Speaking of the first place Phillies, Andrew Pintar traded from the Arizona Diamondbacks organization to the Miami Marlins organization. He had a single in his debut with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. So Pintar goes from the Sod Poodles to the Blue Wahoos.
Bet he does.
And Justin Sterner pitched an inning and a third scoreless for the Durham Bulls.
Former BYU women's basketball player Kaylee Smiler, one of 18 players, been selected to compete for New Zealand and the Tall Ferns, a 12-player roster in the FIBA Women's World Cup pre-qualifying tournament in Mexico on August 19th through the 25th.
And former Cougar Gabby Garcia-Fernandez and the United States men's national volleyball team earn a silver medal at the 2024 Norseca Pan American Cup. Garcia-Fernandez led all players with 18 kills and 2 blocks. That wraps up a very busy edition of your Monday headlines.
Back to Rucker real quick. So the Phillies play the Yankees in the next 3 nights.
Come on,
now
Mike.
Now that he's back,
yeah.
It would be great to see him get out there taking on Aaron Judge again, which he did when he was with the Cubs. Let's go.
I love it. All right, it's time for our first Mattich Monday of the 2024 BYU football season.
Are we ready for that emotionally?
I don't know, but we're going to find out in about 2 minutes after the break. Trevor Mattich on why he expects BYU to beat the expectations. This is BYUSN.
They're excited to get to this season because of how people kind of written off this BYU team.
Guys get better with experience. Jake's got some of that. Gary's got a bunch of that.
Our guys are putting in the work, and I'm hoping it's going to show when we take the field.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B on a Monday. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Dave McCann. Joining us now is longtime friend of the program and the man who is the reason we call it a Mattich Monday. He is Trevor Mattich of ESPN. Trevor, so great to have you back on the show. It can mean only one thing. We're close to football. How are you feeling right now about the approaching football season?
You know, I'm feeling great, guys. Just great. There's been so much happening in the offseason that will affect the season, things that will have unintended, unknown consequences. And I'm looking forward to seeing how all that plays out combined with what's going to happen on the field.
Hey, other than the quarterback battle, what's the top storyline you'll be looking for out of BYU camp?
I think it's defense in the front seven. They need to stop the run better, which means they need to stay healthy. Last year at the end of the season, they ended up getting kind of banged up and the rotation just wasn't as healthy as it needed to be, and opposing teams really took advantage of that. And in addition to that, they need to find a pass rush. That means individual guys need to do a better job of just defeating their blocks. But it also means that the secondary, especially the cover corners, need to be able to lock down to give Coach Hill, the defensive coordinator, the ability to be creative in how he attacks the line with blitzes and stunts and things like that. So that front seven, if it can't stop the run and if they can't get to the quarterback, it's going to be a long season for BYU. But if they can improve in those two areas, then a lot of opportunities open up.
Trevor, let's talk about the front on the other side of the ball, the offensive line, which is now coached by TJ Woods. He's a newcomer on the staff for Kalani Sitake. We are hearing that things are improving as far as accountability and leadership, among other things, are going, physicality. How much do you expect the offensive line to improve from last year to this year with TJ Woods as the guy leading the charge up front?
You know what, Spencer, I expect it to be like night and day. I expect it to be just a huge difference. In watching the BYU offensive line over the last several years, we've talked on Mondays about how there were a couple of things that just frustrated me. One is that from a technique standpoint, it looked like they didn't know how to play the game. I mean, they weren't executing technique like I thought they could have, like their capabilities, their natural talent would allow them to execute. The other thing was finishing plays. You would see them start the block. They'd have a good first couple of steps. They'd engage in the block, and then they'd kind of slow it down. And their guys would easily shed, easily pursue to the ball while the offensive line was just sort of jogging over to where the ball carrier is getting pummeled by the guys they're supposed to be blocking. And that happened over and over and over again. Now, if you're just not good enough, that's one thing. But they had a lot of talent on that offensive line, and too many of the guys didn't finish the plays with aggression, with urgency, with violence. And so that's one of the things that I want to see on that offensive line. I want to see them have good technique executed with violence right from the start, and then keep driving, keep playing, until one step after the whistle every time. That is critical. And if they do that, they have the physical ability to be able to be a really outstanding unit. So those are the things that they need to do. And doing that will put them in a leadership role with the rest of the team. If the offensive line doesn't perform well, I don't care what your personalities are like. I don't care if you're a natural leader. You won't lead the team. But one of the keys to performing well is you finish plays. and your teammates see you do that.
Manage Mondays here. Feels like that should be a sandwich. Manage, the Manage Monday. Trav, in your day here, you snapped the ball to Steve Young and to Robbie Bosco. So from the starting center's perspective, how soon, if you're Connor Pay, would you like BYU to name a starting quarterback?
Well, you know what, Dave? It's from a center's perspective, if the quarterback's under center, it matters a little bit. But there's so much shotgun going on that it could be, you know, you or I could be back there and it won't make a whole lot of difference for the center. The big difference for from a center standpoint, an offensive line, is does the quarterback's voice carry? Because when you're on the road and the crowd's yelling, if the quarterback's voice doesn't pierce through that noise, you can't hear when the snap count is. And that's a problem. So from an offensive line perspective, as long as you can hear him, then the guy that you want back there is the guy that's going to help you win the best.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. If you had to lean a direction toward who BYU is going to start at quarterback based on things you're hearing, and right now it feels much like a coin flip, Trevor, but where are you leaning with this Aaron Roderick-led offense, Gary Bohannon or Jake Retzlaff?
If it's Gary Bohannon should have the edge. Because what is this, his seventh year in college football with the COVID year and the extra year? Just it's crazy. He's been around forever. And he has performed at a very high level in the Big 12. 2021 with Baylor, played really well. He's a huge guy. He's a threat to run. He's got a really strong arm. And so if he puts together the accuracy and the ability to lead the team and operate the offense, he probably will have the edge. But really, Jake could come in and take that job because he's got a lot of moxie. I mean, you watched him at the end of last season, not really even knowing the offense, and the way he scrambled around and made plays and kept his head in the game. You know, I think he has a good chance too. If I had to pick it right now, it would be the experienced guy. It would be Gary. But ultimately, the receivers on this team should be the strength, if not just a strength, of the offense. They're very deep at wide receiver. They've got pass catchers at tight end. They've got backs who can get out of the backfield and run those option routes, and that's important. The quarterback that will win the job will be the guy who is not super flashy and trying to be his approximation of Johnny Manziel. It'll be the guy who can get the ball out on time to the correct receiver in stride so that receiver can then make plays after the catch. That's the guy that has the inside edge. Right now, I think Bohannon should have that edge, but I think Jake Retzlaff could take that away from him if he performs in the way I just described in camp.
That got me thinking, Trevor. On November 9th, if it's Gary Bohannon and Cam Rising on the field in the rivalry game, do they get NIL money from Social Security? Are they old enough to collect that? There's a new source. We found a new revenue source.
That is very funny. They can both come on out with their walkers and in their uniforms and do a commercial, then toss the walkers and run out there and tear it up on the field. That'd be funny. Really funny. Not because they need the walkers. I'm not saying that. No. Knock on wood for both of them. But it would just be a funny sight.
The Cougars are picked 13th in this Big 12. Is that where they should be? What do you think?
I think preseason, sure. And part of the reason is how deep this conference is. I mean, I've seen media projections having 9 different teams in the Big 12 having a chance to win that conference. So it's just incredibly competitive above BYU. And when you look at last year, I think the last month or so of the season where they lost, 5 straight, I think the media that made these selections have that as a memory that BYU can't compete in the trenches. I think some things happened in terms of injury and in terms of just plain lack of depth that contributed to that beyond what it just appeared to be when you watched it on TV. But I think BYU also has a lot of guys that are going to improve. They're just going to get better. In addition to the guys coming back, I mean, the addition of, or the reemergence now, I guess, of Ben Bywater is huge. I mean, Jack Kelly coming in from Weber State is huge. They didn't bring a lot in from the portal, but just being healthy, knowing what it takes to prepare in practice, in the weight room, with your sleep, with your eating, all those different things to be able to compete week after week after week in such a relentless schedule that they experienced last year will help them be better this year. And really, you know, there are keys to this season. We mentioned the stopping the run and getting after the passer by the front seven. You know, we talked about the quarterbacks, and they've got to be able to fully unleash the capability of the skill guys around them. We talk about the offensive line taking over with leadership and with a violent but technically precise style of play. Those things are all really important. But then that last component, which is got to stay healthy. That is a massive part of it. And if all those things come together, BYU can compete in the top 4 or 5 of this conference. And then if they get the ball bouncing the right way sometimes, you know, there's some good things that can happen. But a lot of things have to come together. I want you to remember this, that when Utah entered the Pac-12, it took them, what was it, the better part of a decade to really be able to compete and win the Pac-12 championship, because they had to develop the not just the front-end talent, but the depth to be able to compete against that relentless schedule. BYU is now entering the Big 12 in the same place that Utah entered the Pac-12.
Trevor, in our final minute of this fantastic Monday conversation, we need to note that you're entering your 21st season covering college football in depth for the worldwide leader ESPN. As far as a national storyline, or maybe a few, what are you looking forward to most about this specific college football season?
It starts with the 12-team playoff. Now teams with a new head coach or a new coordinator or a new quarterback will, you know, be able to lose a game or two early and not be completely out of the conversation for getting into the previous 14 playoff. Now it's 12 teams. You can go 10-2, and if you've got enough quality wins in those 10, you can still make the playoff. That keeps fan bases all around the country engaged at a national level the entire season. Whereas in the past, if, for example, the Pac-12's best team beat each other a couple of times in the first half of the season, now it's just a regional show that isn't being talked about nationally. Well, the Pac-12's gone, but the same thing is the case for teams in the Big 12, the ACC, and even teams farther down the pecking order in Big 10 and SEC. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm also looking forward to seeing how Ohio State performs. You know, they've got a team that a lot of people say is by far the most talented in the country. I question, though, whether their quarterback can rise to the level of quarterbacks in places like Georgia, places like Ole Miss even. And so I think it'll be very interesting to see how Ohio State at the quarterback position deals with the pressure, because that position needs to be able to outperform the quarterbacks at other teams that might not have quite as much talent over the course of the rest of the roster.
Trevor Maddich already in midseason form, ladies and gentlemen. Trevor, it's always great to talk to you. Can't wait to do it again soon. Be well.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Classic.
More Social Security for all as well.
So good. His football career and his broadcasting career have been exceptional.
Yes.
And great to have him with us. It's a sign of the times. Maddich Monday. After further review, the big show returns tomorrow for the season premiere with the traditional touchdown show. All the touchdowns from last season. That's just must-see TV. We start at 7 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
After the break, other than the quarterback battle at BYU, what is the number one storyline you are paying attention to during BYU football training camp? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I played with Tula Mealy for 3 years, and there was a period there where a couple games we weren't getting a lot of passes. And Patty Edwards went to Lavelle and said, Lavelle, you need to start throwing to the tight end more. I was like, Patty, I love you. She's been my hero ever since.
Any of our two-hour broadcasts, the BYU football celebration of 100 years, you can find it at BYUSN.com. It's good TV, anytime on demand. Nice job, by the way.
Thank you. Our question of the day, other than the quarterback battle, what is the number one storyline you all will be following during BYU football's training camp? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Rig Matthew on X, who says, will the offensive line be cohesive and strong enough to provide
a 3,000-yard passer and a 1,000-yard rusher. Okay. I'll take one or the other, frankly. or the other means good things. Today's Rise and Shout-Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. One, Dave, let's give it to Adam Williams, who says he's selling my BYU memorabilia to earn money for college. Send a DM if anything stands out. I also set up a GoFundMe if you'd like to donate money instead. Anything would help a ton. Travis Kimball, a BYU fan, donated $1,984, 1984.
How about another shout-out? The First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announcing a short time ago that a medical school is coming to BYU. Doctor?
That is us, Doctor.
Good show.
Our thanks to today's guests, Cody Epps and Trevor Maddich. For Dave, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Chris Smith. Football's almost here. Go Cougs!